Okay, welcome back, Acharei HaChagim. Jeff Sachs here, Masechet Ta'anit from Mishkan Tzipora in Efrat, and live on Web Yeshiva. Apologies to our friends in Chutz Laretz, who are celebrating a second day of Yontif and can't be with us live. No doubt you're listening to the recording. We'll all give a happy shout out to our friends, especially to Yehudi, who will be missed by not being here on this year live. He'll send in all of his questions and keen observations, and we'll listen to them or read them afterwards. Here we are. I really misjudged, because I had hoped that we would have finished Ta'anit by now, but the Chagim got in the way, and COVID got in the way, and all types of other things. We're on Daf Kuf Zayin Omud Beis, and we have to get to Lamed Aleph Omud Aleph, so you can do the math. And there are actually some important sugyot between now and the end, including discussions of Tisha B'Av. You think of Ta'anit, you think of Tisha B'Av, and other things that are very relevant. But it all worked out because, as you'll see, tonight's Gemara is particularly relevant to this period between Simchat Torah and Parshat Bereshit. Tanu Rabbanan. Anshei Mishmar hayu mitpalalim al korban acheihem shiitkabel baratzon. ואנשי מעמד מתכנסים לבית הכנסת ויושבים ארבע תעניות, בשני בשבת, בשלישי, ברביעי וחמישי. The members of the Mishmar, the Kohanim, would daven that the korbanot of their brother Kohanim would be accepted. The Gemara will explain exactly, what this means, because after all, the Kohanim themselves were bringing the korbanot, so how could they be praying for the korbanot of their brothers should be accepted? And the Anshei HaMa'amad, the non-priest Levite crowd, who were on call, as it were, who were part of, how do we translate Anshei Ma'amadot? The assemblies, the members of the assembly, of the watch, who were responsible for that week's affairs. They would gather up in their local synagogues and they would fast on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Why would they fast on those days? B'sheni, they would fast on Monday al yordei hayam. They would fast on Monday because of the seafarers. To be a yored yam, to be a sailor, to travel by sea was always considered highly dangerous. That's why, after all, we're accustomed to saying Birkata Gomel after traveling by air across the ocean. But that bracha, of course, was instituted not for air travel, but for sea travel. Why do the seafarers need a special bracha, a special merit of having people fast on their behalf on Monday, Dafgan Monday? No?
The sea was created on Monday.
This is why it's relevant for these days when we should all be learning Parshat Bereshit. Shnai Mikra Vecha Targum? You're supposed to learn the Parsha every week. And there were people who were like frantically during the Hakafot, who were frantically trying to finish Vizot HaBracha so that they could finish in time for Simchat Torah. And now this week, starting yesterday, you have to, it's a shorter week to finish Parshat Bereshit. So people are frantically doing that. So everybody has to learn Shnai Mikra Vecha Targum, right? To learn the Minag is to learn the Parasha with Rashi. Shnai Mikra Vecha Targum, though there are people that actually read the Targum, generally the Jewish people have taken on the custom of learning the Parasha with Rashi every week. So, I took down my Chumash Bereshis from the shelf. I have one of these little handy sets you carry around. And I'll probably make it as far as Noach or Lech Lecha, maybe even Parshat Vayera this year. But everybody should try to learn Shnai Mikra Vecha Targum. But on the second day, Vayomer Elokim Yikavu Hamayim Mitachat Hashemayim El Makom Echad. No, I'm sorry. On the second day, Vayomer Elokim Yihi Rakia Betoch Hamayim Vayihi Mavdil Bein Mayim Lamayim. That's Yom HaSheni. So Yom HaSheni is the ocean day. So therefore, that's an appropriate day for people to fast on behalf of the Yordei Hayam. B'shlishi al holchei midbarot, And on Tuesday, they would fast for people that have to travel by across the desert. Why is the desert connected to Tuesday? Because on Tuesday, the Yabasha was created. The dry land was created. Barivi'i al Askara. Askara is some disease. It's often, we saw this earlier, I think in the first parak. I don't remember where Askara came up. Askara is often explained or translated as croup, right? But it's some kind of disease that children in particular are susceptible to. And, you know, used to die. It was a very, it was considered a very dangerous childhood disease. So on Wednesday, they would fast for Askara Shelo Tipol al Hatinokot. Why is that connected to Wednesday? So Rashi explains here, and in the Chumash, Rashi explains that on Wednesday it says Vayomer Elokim Yihi Me'orot Barakia Hashamayim, that the great lights, the sun, the moon, the stars, should be fixed in the heaven. But the word Me'orot, the lights, is spelled defectively. Instead of spelling it Mem Aleph Vav Resh, it's spelled Mem Aleph Resh, which can also, if you change around the Nikud, mean the kind of like the curses and things. So Wednesday, according to Chazal, there was an idea that Wednesdays was a day that was particularly susceptible for bad things happening. For bad things happening because of this defective, this chaser spelling of the word me'orot. And Askara was considered to be something that you are, I guess, a little more likely to catch on a Wednesday. So on Wednesday, they would fast for that. B'chamishi al ubarot v'menikot, on pregnant and nursing women, ubarot shelo yapilu, they shouldn't miscarry, menikot shianiku et b'neihem. The nursing women that they should be able to properly nurse their children. Why is that connected to Thursday? What happens on Thursday?
The animals?
The creation of animal life, right? The idea that one creature brings forth the life of another creature. So that is appropriate for childbirth and nursing. Ah, you might say that would be more appropriate when?
Friday.
On Friday, when mankind is actually created, but we don't generally fast on Friday. Be'erev Shabbat lo ayu mitanim, b'nei kvod ha-Shabbat. Generally, we don't like to fast on Friday because of the honor of the Sabbath. Although it does happen in our fixed calendar that Asara B'Tevet can come out on a Friday, and that davening, that Friday night davening after a day of fasting, is usually, you know, not the most libidic in the world. But aside from that, generally speaking, we don't fast on Erev Shabbat, so as not to go into Shabbat. Despite the fact that, generally speaking, you're not supposed to overeat on Friday. And certainly late in the day on Friday, you're not supposed to have like a proper meal, because we do want you to have a little hunger Friday night when you sit down to eat, that you can eat the Sabbath meal with gusto. But nevertheless, generally speaking, we don't fast on Friday. Kal v'chomer b'Shabbat atzma. And certainly you don't fast on Shabbat itself. So that's why they would fast on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, but not Friday and not Saturday. That leaves only Be'echad B'Shabbat. So what about Sunday? My time lo. Why didn't they fast on Sunday? Omer B'Yochanan Mipnei HaNotzrim. Because of the Christians. Why? Because of the Christians? So that seems to be a machloket about what this means. Let's assume that the proper text of the Gemara is Notzrim. Right? There are other Girsa'ot of this Gemara. David, what were you about to say?
I was going to wonder how that made through the censors. That seems to be the kind of thing that would have gotten...
I
don't know the date of Rabbi Yochanan, but I do know the date much later when the Notzrim decided that Sunday was their Shabbat, as it were. It was much later.
it was later than Rabbi Yochanan.
It might have overlapped slightly with the Gemara, but I very much doubt that that's the reason.
When does Sunday become a Christian Sabbath?
I don't know if it's the Treaty of Nicaea or later. I think it was later. I'll check it. But it wasn't straight away. You know, it wasn't the first or second century.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well,
that's very interesting.
I mean, this might be a later tradition, which is retrograded back into
exactly. Yes, that's right.
But Rabbi Yochanan says because of the Christians, because obviously because Sunday was there's the Christian Sabbath, they didn't want it to look like, well, it depends on how you interpret it. They didn't want it to look like they were somehow observing that day as a holy day, or they didn't want to arouse the enmity of the Christians. Because after all, fasting can be interpreted one of two ways. Either we would be fasting that day to mark that the Christian Sabbath is a holy, holy day. And obviously we wouldn't want to give that impression. But it could also be that we fast. Sometimes fasting is a mark of sorrow, is a mark of mourning. And therefore we wouldn't want to arouse the enmity of the Nozrim. That they should mistakenly think that we're somehow mourning on their Sabbath day and then cause their ire. But that's what Rabbi Yochanan says the reason is. But Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani says the reason is Mipnei Shehu Shlishi LiYitzira. It's the third day of creation. What does it mean that Yom Rishon is the third day of creation? It means it's the Sundays are 3 days after Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So since there's this idea, we see it also by Avraham and the Brit Milah, that the third day is somehow the hardest, the most difficult. And this is true also, I mean, even today. Today, when thank God infant mortality is so much lower than it was once upon a time. Nevertheless, you know, when a baby is first born, you keep an eye on it under a little more careful guidance. The first 40, generally speaking, at least here is in America, you know, you have a baby, they do it like outpatient. They want to get everybody out of the hospital right away because insurance doesn't want to pay for it. But here, generally speaking, you stay over in the hospital 2-3 days, you know, depending upon what time the baby was born, but at least 2 nights women usually stay over in the hospital, not just for the women, but also for the babies themselves to keep a little bit extra eye during those first 48 or 72 hours. So Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani says that's the reason we don't fast on Sunday, because it's the third day after the birth, and therefore we don't want to fast on a day that might somehow be connected. It is true that sometimes, do you notice this? Sometimes if you're not feeling well, I don't mean sick, I don't mean like you came down with something serious, but you're just generally not feeling well, a lot of times that's on Sundays. I think I once saw that people, that sick days, at least here in Israel, where Sunday's a regular work day, Sundays is a bigger day for sick days than any other day of the week. Now, maybe people are calling in sick because they want an extra long weekend. Maybe they were partying too much on Saturday. Maybe they were partying, you know, in the Sabbath violating way, or maybe they were celebrating in the Sabbath observing way. We all know a little bit too much scotch and chillin' and herring at the Kiddush can give you an upset stomach Saturday night, and you end up having to call in sick on Sunday. So sometimes that happens. It's Sundays is a day that you're just a little bit, I don't know, run down or something. So maybe that's what it is. Shlomo, Shalom, what did you just put in the chat? 321 AD.
I found a source that said it was by the end of the first century. Uh-huh. So I guess there's some machloka. You have to find the people doing their, you know, the shirim about when the Christian Sabbath was. So. Uh-huh.
Reish Lakish Amar Mipnei Neshama Yitera. No, you don't fast on Sunday because of the neshama yetera. We know that on Shabbos you get like an extra dose of soul. Reish Lakish says neshama yetera na bo ba adam be erev Shabbat. Right on Friday afternoon when the Sabbath comes in, your soul is expanded, or your spirituality is expanded. You obtain an extra soul, the Sabbath soul, the neshama yetera. And that extra soul departs on Saturday night. That's one of the reasons we smell bisamim, spices at Havdalah, because as the soul leaves you, you feel a little bit faint, and the like smelling salt, the bisamim revives you a little bit. Shnei emar shavat ve'yinafash. Right, shavat ve'yinafash kevan sheshavat oy avdo nefesh. Since you decease from malacha, since you rest on the Sabbath, inafosh, the soul expands. That's how Chazal interpret that pasuk shavat v'inafash, that pasuk which we say in Kiddush, right? Shavat v'inafash, you rest on the Sabbath and your soul. The pasuk literally means shavat, you stop working, v'yinafash, and you rest, v'yinafash. But the word v'yinafash has in it the word nefesh. So Chazal said shavat, you observe the Sabbath, v'yinafash, and your soul will double or will expand. So when you cease from malacha, then oy vei, voy avda nefesh. Then your nefesh leaves you, and therefore on Sunday you're a little weak because you know you've had this neshama taken away from you, this nefesh taken away from you, and then you therefore don't fast on Sunday. All right, that's the end of that discussion. Now the Mishnah had gone on. I'm sorry, I don't have it on the screen, but you remember the Mishnah had described what the ma'amadot would do when they gathered in their hometown during that week, aside from fasting. They would read from our parashat HaShavuah. They would read from, say, parashat Bereshit. Bayom HaRishon, Bereshit ve'yihi rokia. They would read those two parashiot, meaning, you have a chumash in front of you, it's handy. Again, I'm sorry, I should have had it up on the screen. Right, the first two paragraphs, right, the first two parashiot. By parasha, I don't mean the weekly parasha, I mean the division into, you see, the division into parsha breaks. So we read the first 2 days of creation. Tana, the Brisa says, Breshit Bishnayim. The first five psukim, which are nicknamed Breshit, the story of the creation of the first day, are read by two people. Yehi Rokia Bo'echad. Those are read by one person, meaning you divide it up into three aliyahs. The first eight psukim are divided into three aliyahs. Day one, from Breshit to Vayere Vayevoker Yom Echad, is read by two olim, and day two from Vayomer Hashem Yehi Rokia until Vayere Vayevoker Yom Sheni is read by the shlishi, by the third person. So now the Gemara gets onto a topic which we learned together in a parallel sugya a couple of years back in Masechet Megillah. There's a problem. How do you divide the first five psukim? Right, the description of creation on day one takes up five psukim. How do you divide that amongst two aliyahs when each aliyah needs to be three psukim long? So the Gemara says, Bishlama Yehi Rokia. Okay, this works out for the third ole, the ole that reads the second day. Right, Be'echot can be read by one person. Tlata psuka havo. There are three verses in that aliyah. Ela breshit b'shnayim ma'atayma. How can it be that how can it be that the first five psukim are divided between two different olim? It only has chamisha psukei havya. It only has five psukim. V'tanya hakorei b'torah lo yifchot mishlosha psukim. Somebody that gets an aliyah has to read at least three psukim. So how do you divide five psukim into two aliyahs of three psukim each? So there are different answers that are offered. Rav Amar Dolek. Rav said, you skip. Skipping in English always means to skip ahead. But in Hebrew, lidaleg can mean to skip ahead or to skip back. So Rav says you skip back. What does that mean? You read verses 1, 2, and 3. And then the second guy comes up and you skip back and he reads verses 3, 4, and 5. Meaning verse 3 is read twice. It's the last verse of the first aliyah and it's the first verse of the second aliyah. And therefore, each of them gets three psukim. My taima lo amar... Rav Amar Doleg Ushmul Amar Posek. And Shmuel said you take the third pasuk and you divide it in half. Right? The third pasuk is Vayomer Elohim Yehi Or Vayehi Or. So you would probably read it Vayomer Elohim Yehi Or. Stop. And then the next Oleg goes up and you start reading Vayehi Or, Vayar Elokim et Or Kitov. You divide it in half so that everybody reads two and a half psukim, which I guess he thinks is the same as reading three psukim. Because right? You are, in fact, reading from three psukim, but not three whole psukim. So now the Gemara wants to know why each of these opinions, Rav, who says you double one posuk, and Shmuel, who says you split one posuk, why do they each think this? Rav, the Omar Doleg, my taima, lo amar posek. So Rav, who said you repeat one pasuk, why does he reject the idea of splitting it in half? Kesavar kol psuke de lo paske Moshe anan lo paskinan le. This is a general principle which we've encountered elsewhere in the Gemara, that any verse that Moshe didn't split, we can't split. The division of the Tanakh into psukim, right, into each verses, you know, what are usually represented in our printed chumashim with a colon. The colon is the marker that is the end of a verse. The division of the text of the Torah into psukim was, according to the Masoretic tradition, done by Moshe himself. And we are not authorized to split up psukim into half verses if Moshe himself didn't do that. We'll come back to try and understand what does that exactly mean. Do we ever split up verses?
In like tefillah or in kriya? In tefillah we do sometimes.
In tefillah we do quite often. The most radical position of this is that you can never quote a half a psukim. Like in, if you're giving a shiur, if you're saying a Dvar Torah, you can never quote a half a pasuk. Right? Now, obviously, that's not the halacha. The Gemara itself, what is v'chu, right? V'chu means I'm only quoting half a pasuk, and I'm indicating that there's more to it than that. Although the v'chu, which is like saying etc., is maybe a nod to indicating that what I've quoted is not the entire verse, but only a portion of the verse. And really, you should always quote a whole verse, but you, gentle reader, shouldn't think that that's the whole verse. Okay. So why does he say you can't quote a half a verse? Because of this principle that you can't split up sukkim. Ushmuel amar posek. But Shmuel, who said that you can divide the pasuk, Umi paskinan? Are you? I mean, how does he say that you're allowed to divide a verse when we have this principle that you're not allowed to divide verses. Ba'omar Rabbi Chanina Kra, Sa'ar Gadol Hayali Eitzel Rabbi Chanina Hagadol. Elo Hitirli Lipsok Ela Latinok Shel Beit Rabban. Ho'il V'lehitlamed Asuyan. The only dispensation for quoting a half a verse, Chanina, Chanina, his name was Kra. There are two Chaninas here. There's Chanina Kra and Chanina Gadol. So Chanina Kra, to be a Kra was meant you were, you remember Fahrenheit 451? Bradbury's Fahrenheit 451? There, you know, once the books, physical books were all destroyed, were all contraband and burned. But there was a kind of book underground that would meet in the forest to keep literature preserved as a Torah Sheba Al Peh. Don't you remember Fahrenheit 451? Yes, no?
Read it a long time ago.
Tzvi, please.
A very long time ago.
But you remember things. And anyway, we can reread it. Where is it? I have it on the shelf someplace. I'll send you what I wrote about Fahrenheit 451 not long ago.
Okay.
Fahrenheit 451 is this dystopian type of fantasy written by Ray Bradbury, who's much more well-known for his science fiction, where Fahrenheit 451 is the temperature at which paper burns, or at least that was the conceit of the novel. That may not factually be true, but in the novel, that's the temperature at which paper burns. And books have been all confiscated and taken away, but there's an underground of people that keep literature alive. And this one is King Lear. He's memorized King Lear. And that one is Moby Dick. He's memorized Moby Dick. And this other one is Ecclesiastes, right? He's memorized Kohelet. We read Kohelet last Shabbos, right? Imagine memorizing Kohelet. It was done. It was done in Fahrenheit 451, but it was also done by the Tanaim and the Amoraim. So Chanina Kra meant he was an expert in the Mikra, right? And as he was the guy that would sit there and, like, if you needed the verse, you could tell him, what's that pasuk? And he would know it. He would know it ba'al peh. And he was, you know, part of their job was to be a kind of like human computer, a human database. But part of their job was also obviously to teach Kra, Mikra, Tanakh to children. So he said, like, how do you do it? How do you teach children Tanakh or Chumash or Navi if you can never quote a half a pasuk? So he got a special dispensation for education purposes to quote a half pasuk because it's not possible to teach little children otherwise. But that was the only dispensation. And so Shmuel, Hatam Ta'ama Mai, Mishum Delo Efshar. So why did he get a dispensation? Why did Chanina Kra get a dispensation to read half verses? Because it's just simply impossible to teach school children unless you can quote a half a verse. Right? So Hacha Nami Lo Efshar. So here too, Shmuel, who said we do divide the verses, but he's aware of this idea that Kol Pasuk Shlo Paskinan Moshe Aner Lo Paskinan, that you're not allowed to divide verses. So what does he say? He says, you remember the special heter that Chanina Kra got? He got that permission because it wasn't possible otherwise. So you know what else is impossible otherwise? It's not possible to read, to divide five verses between two people and each of them get three. So therefore, this must also be the impossible case where you have to divide a pasuk and each one reads two and a half, which if you round up is like reading three. So that's why he allows you to do it. Ushmul amar posek. He said, you divided. My time aloha mar doleg. So why doesn't he, I mean, he kind of has to go out of his way to find a leniency to allow you to divide the pasuk. So why doesn't he just accept Rav's position and say, read one pasuk twice? My time alo omar doleg, gzeira mishum hanichnasin ugzeira mishum hayotzin. Because we're afraid that if somebody has to leave, or somebody comes late. Even Chazal were aware that such things happen. Could you imagine what they would think of us? Right? So if they read, you have five psukim that have to be read amongst two people. So I see that the Rishon, he reads three psukim. And then if I have to step out to blow my nose, or for whatever reason, a person might have to step out of the shul, I might come to the false conclusion that the next ole is only going to read two psukim. Or if I come late between the first and second aliyah and see that the second guy starts reading from pasuk 3 to 4 to 5, I might erroneously conclude that the first aliyah that I missed because I was late only read two psukim. And I might therefore come to the conclusion that an aliyah might be able to be constituted of only two psukim. And that's wrong. And therefore, he doesn't like this idea of doleg because it might lead to the latecomers or the early leavers to a false conclusion. And therefore, he says it's better to divide the posuk in half. Okay. Meitve. Here, you see Meitve? Meitve. This is an attack. This is an attack brought by a braita. One Tana against another Tana. Right? Meitve. Parashah shel shisha psukim korinoto bishnaim. A passage of six verses can be read by two people, each reading three. Bishel chamisha b'yochid. And if you have a passage of only five verses, that can only be read by one person, since it can't be divided up into two sections of three, because five does not divide evenly by three. V'im harishon kori gimel, v'asheni kori shnayim, miparasha zu, ve'echad miparasha acheret. Or he can read an extra posuk. Right? You can read, the first one can read 1, 2, 3, and the next one can read 4, 5, and then a sixth verse from someplace else. V'eishomrim shlosha lefi she'ein matchilim miparasha pachot mishlosha psukim. And you can't start leaning, right? Some say that you need to have three psukim from whatever the next chapter is, so that person would read five, since you're not allowed to only read one verse from the beginning of a new parasha. So this is a machloket. This braita goes against both Rav and Shmuel. Right? Rav said, you repeat the verse. Shmuel said, you divide the verse. This one says, you can't do either. You have to find three whole psukim to read, and depending upon how the parasha, by parasha, you know what I mean? The breaks, the visual breaks in the Torah, right? You never read just one pasuk of the new parasha. It could be that you have to read a minimum of five psukim, depending upon how the breaks work out. So this is a machloket both on Lamanda Omar Doleg, Li Doleg, Lamanda Omar Posek Li Posek. Right? So what about those two opinions? Why do we need this new braita that tells us you can't do, so we can't agree between Rav and Shmuel? But let's assume one of them is right. What do you need this third opinion which disagrees with both of them? So the Gemara says, Shani Hatam. That's different. Ding, turn the page. Kafchet Omer Aleph, De'it Le Ravcha. Right? That's if there's space, if there's more to read in the upcoming parasha. Lama'aseh, how do we paskin? Like Rav or like Shmuel? We know this. We know this from Arlene.
Doleg, we do in Rosh Chodesh.
We do it. You go back. If you look at the Kriya for Rosh Chodesh, again, I'm sorry, I don't have it up on the screen. Sukkahs had to be taken down. There were other things that got in the way. On Rosh Chodesh, because of the way because we have four olim on Rosh Chodesh, and the way that the breaks in the if you have a sitter, you could open up to the lighting for Rosh Chodesh. There are different ways that it's done, but our minhag in Eretz Yisrael is that you go back and you reread a pasuk so that the small section can be read without having to be without having to read less than is necessary. So lemaaseh we do that. But what is this idea of you can't quote a half a verse? Can you give an example when we do quote half verse? I don't mean just like in common speech.
Kiddush.
Vayer vayvoker yom hashishi. That's the second half of the pasuk.
Vezota Torah, when you see the Torah, that's also people, that's an issue. Sometimes people make a makpid to see the whole thing and not just a...
What's the whole pasuk?
If name it's well, if you have something like that. It's not, and it was in the sitter that you'll have something just to have. I remember that was something I once was told that you should say that be dafka because of this thing. That there was once read somewhere, someone told me you should be careful to say the whole pasuk.
Yeah. Wait, where is the pasuk of Bezota Torah?
I don't know, sitter in front of me, but actually I do.
Dvarim Dalid Mem Dalid Zota Torah Shasem Moshe Lefnei Bnei Yisrael. That's all pasuk.
Right, but the sitter quotes part of it or something. There was some...
No. Are you thinking of Yehallelu at Shem Hashem?
Maybe. I don't know. I might remember
Zota Torah Shasem Moshe Lefnei Bnei Yisrael. That's a whole pasuk. But what do? When we're putting the Sefer Torah back, the Chazan says, Yehallelu Hashem Adoshem, Kinizgav Shemo Levado. That's the first half of a pasuk in Tehillim. And then everybody else continues, Hodo Aleretz V'Shamayim. In other words, the Kahal picks up the refrain from the middle of the pasuk. By the way, please note, it's Hodo. Hodo, not Hodu. Right? Pay attention in shul. You'll hear a lot of people say Hodu al Eretz. No, it's Hod-o. Ha-Hod, the splendor, Hodo, Shelo. God's splendor is upon the earth and the heavens. Hodo, right? So that, so when we all, the Chazan says, Yahalu Hashem Hashem, Kines Gav Shem Elev Hodo, and then everybody else starts mid-pasuk. Right? And there are other cases. This Kiddush, the Haggadah is full of Chatzei Psukim. I mean, the Haggadah is quoting the Sifrei. It's quoting the Midrashim on the interpretation of Arami Oved Avi. Right, and so you know from reading the Midrashim that we quote Psukim as proof texts, half Psukim. All the time. So how is that all permitted? So there are a number of different answers that are given. The simplest answer is that the problem of quoting a half pasuk is within the ritualized reading of the Torah itself. Right? You don't read psukim that are not part of that are not broken up according to the Masoretic tradition. But in common speech, or if instituted, if a half a pasuk is embedded as part of the set tefillot, so then that's obviously because you're not quoting it there as pasuk, right? In other words, if I get up and I'm trying to get people's attention in a crowd, and I shout out Shema Yisrael, right? Which would be a kind of like clever rabbinic way of telling everybody in shul, listen up, Jews, right? So when I say Shema Yisrael, well, Shema Yisrael is a half a pasuk, half of a very famous pasuk. Right? If I have a bumper sticker, as people used to have, that says Ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, right? Remember when you first came on Aliyah and you'd see bumper stickers like that? Or Yisrael B'tach Bashem. The breast lovers have those on their bumper stickers. Right? Remember, what was that song, the The Shirei Stickerim? What was this? What was
David Grossman's song, yeah.
How does it?
Shirei Stickerim. Yeah,
like, in other words, it was like all of the slogans from the bumper stickers, some of which are, you know, were just secular phrases like Kama Roa Efshar Livloa against, you know, Pitum Avazim, fattening up the geese. But many of them were psukim, or half psukim, right? That are on the bumper stickers of cars, on every Breslova car, and every Chabad car, and every lots of other people. I remember when I first came to Israel, seeing the bumper sticker that said Ve'ahavta L'Re'echa Kamocha, and just being so enchanted with that. I bought one of them. Do you remember them? They were yellow, right? They said, I don't know who made them, but I remember I bought one my first trip to Israel, and I put it, I had in America, I had a Datsun B210, a little hatchback, four gear stick shift car. The car weighed about 11 pounds. You could pick it up with one hand. So I had that on my first car when I was a kid. You'd be driving like up to camp in the mountains, and people would, like, you know, you'd see them would beep at you as they were heading up to the mountains. So how is it permitted to have a bumper sticker that says, how is it permitted to say Shema Yisrael, listen up Jews? Because when you're not using it as a pasuk, right? You're taking it out of the context of being a pasuk. Sometimes you're even taking it out of the context of its actual meaning, right? I mean, after all, think of the slichot that we just spent so much time saying. The slichot are all these kinds of melitzot, of kinds of poeticizing different phrases, most of which are half psukim. So, but that's not kriyata. That's not kriyat haTorah. But they're used whenever you take a pasuk, a half a pasuk, or a phrase from a pasuk out of its context in the purpose of prayer or shevach or hodo'ah or bakasha to Hashem. That's okay. The prohibition doesn't apply there. That's the opinion of the Chatam Sofer, or the Chasam Sofer. The Magen Avram says, that we should be careful about these things, but it doesn't apply to everything. It applies most severely to psukim from the Torah, and it may not apply at all to psukim from the ketuvim. Why ketuvim? Because ketuvim, what's the difference between nevi'im and ketuvim? Well, I mean, there are different levels of nevuah, right? Ketuvim also have prophetic elements to them, but they're not nevuah in the sense that the words were not dictated through Ruach HaKodesh. Perhaps only the kind of concepts and themes are dictated through Ruach HaKodesh, and therefore they have sanctity as written texts, but not as spoken texts in the same way. And therefore, you might be able to be a little more lenient about other parts of the Torah. But that still leaves you stuck with the fact that we're not always careful about this principle.
I discovered what I was remembering about the Zot HaTorah. Zot HaTorah Asher Shama Hashem Lifnei Yisrael is a pasuk. The problem is the second half, Api Hashem Biyad Moshe. That is a chetzi pasuk, and there are a lot of poskim, including, I'm looking up now, Rav Chaim Volozhin and others, who said that you should quote the entire pasuk, and there's different places that appear, and they say how you should add it in different sitting. That's, I was remembering it correctly, it was the first half. It's the second half that's a problem, and there were definitely poskim who said you really shouldn't.
So it's not surprising that you point to Rav Chaim Volozhin, because the real address for that is not Chaim Volozhiner, but his Rebbe, the Gro. Yeah. The Gro is very stringent about this. As a matter of fact, there are many briskers, or people that were influenced by briskers, or people that were influenced by people who were influenced by Rabbi Soloveitchik, who disseminated some of those Brisker principles, who on Friday night don't say Vayera Vayivoker Yom HaShishi, but they start maybe in a whisper, Vayera Elokim et kol asher asa v'hinei tov ma'od, Vayera Vayivoker Yom HaShishi, so that you are reciting the full pasuk. If you'd like to come to my home for dinner on a Friday night, or better yet, if you want to invite me to your home for dinner on Friday night and honor me by having me recite the Kiddush, you can observe me doing this, because indeed I was influenced by people who were influenced by Rabbi Soloveitchik, who was influenced by the Brisker traditions that came down from the Vilna Gaon, that you should be careful not to recite half psukim, at least not when ritualized. But certainly even the Rav, even the Gra, would quote a half a pasuk if it was in the context of teaching. And that opinion is brought down, the more lenient opinion is brought down by Reuven Margolios, you know, who was the great generation two ago, wrote many important works on halacha, the history of halacha, and other things. That said, if they said, what does it mean, kol posuk de lo poske Moshe? Don't think that it means any verse which wasn't divided into the verse divisions with the two dots. No, it means don't take a half verse out of context. Right? That's even within one pasuk, there are natural places to break. Right? In other words, if you have a verse like Vayera Vayivoker Yom HaShishi, that's a half a verse that makes sense. It's a clause. The first part of the pasuk is Vayera Elokim et kol asher asa v'hinei tov ma'od. That's one clause. Comma, still within one verse, comma, Vayera Vayivoker Yom HaShishi. Right? So you shouldn't divide a pasuk in a way that plays with the meaning of the individual sub clauses within. You remember diagrams, Tzvi, if you don't remember reading Fahrenheit 451, you probably were a little fuzzy the last time you diagrammed the grammatical components of a sentence on the blackboard. But you remember the concept of what that is. So in terms of keeping the integrity of individual clauses within one pasuk, that's what you shouldn't break up, because then it really does distort the meaning.
I think what you're referring to is actually is the same question exists in Kiddush, because the Vayehi Erev Vayivoker is essentially, I think it's only brought down because of that, and it's said, most of them say that it's said Belachash, quietly.
Right.
The Yom HaShishi is the part that the emphasis is on.
Right. Right.
That would be a part of a clause.
Right, right. Yeah. Okay. So lahalacha, we pass the Shulchan Aruch says that you're allowed to quote a chatzi pasuk, but from whatever point you're reading that pasuk, whatever point you pick up the pasuk in the middle, you have to read until the end of the pasuk, right? And as we wouldn't say v'hinei tov ma'od Vahiyarev, period. Right? That's wherever you can start reading a partial pasuk from the middle, but you have to always read to the end of the pasuk. I'm not sure that we always even follow that. And he says, by the way, when the Chazan says Hodu al Eretz v'Shamayim, that everybody should recite that along with the Chazan quietly. So that when you pick up, you should say that quietly with the chazan. Okay, those are some of the ideas that go along with this idea of dividing up psukim. We'll pause here. I wish you all a good winter, and we'll pick up again next Tuesday. Yes?
The following Tuesday is election day. We
I think maybe, you know, in the merits of if we cancel share every time we have election days, we'll never have share. So unless people are like going to be at the balloting box until late or something, I think we will have share next Tuesday. Hold on a second. I'm looking at the schedule. Yeah. We'll have next Tuesday. I don't want to. We have a wedding coming up. I'm going to have to miss some time for that. So let's assume we'll have election. Let's assume we'll have elections on Shear Day, which is the way things are going. We'll also have Shear on election day.
Good.
And for the people in Chutz La'aretz, they'll have to come twice to make up. It won't be election day for them. They'll have to come twice to make up. Oh, wait. When are the.
We'll be elections the following week.
They have elections the following week.
Yeah.
So they'll vote early and often. Okay, Laila Tov.
Laila Tov, Shkoyach.
Thank you.